God, and draw the lost back to you, our Heavenly Father. We give you praise through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May I be seated. So, maybe I'll just use this. So, in the 5 years that we've been here, I've known our guest speaker for about, I want to say 4.5 of those. And you know, there's a lot that I could say about Shane, but maybe to sum it up, I'll share with you what the kids usually say. They say, "OMG, Shane, I love Shane." Right? But more beyond just loving his really just calm and chill demeanor, you know, they say that still waters run deep. And it's really interesting, because when somebody in youth says something really profound, I'll kind of just stroke my beard and tell everybody to be like, deep, right? Well, Shane has had more than his fair share of deep moments, where he'll share something and it's so profound that you just have to pay attention. I'm so excited, because I know that God is using him, and I've seen the changes that God's brought into his life, and it's been a blessing not just to me, but to our leadership team and the rest of the youth. So I know for sure that at the end of this, you also say, "I love Shane." Can you give a warm welcome to Shane Zeglich? We are having some technical difficulties, and I forgot to have Sarah read the scripture. This is going really well, guys. It's my first time, really. Sarah Wimes will be reading our scripture.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
All right, this is round two. We'll see if it works this time. So as Pastor Hector said, I'm not actually a member of this church. In fact, I'm a member of the Farmingdale United Methodist Church. My dad is the pastor over there, so I'm an anomaly in two different ways today. So when Pastor Hector asked me to give a sermon a couple months ago, I didn't really know what to try to attempt to take. So when I thought deeper and heavier, and the word confirmation came up that this would be Confirmation Sunday, I decided to do something that I was pretty much everyday life to me, which would be my struggles and the youth struggles in school and just everyday life that we struggle as Christians and trying to find our bearings. I'm going to read the scripture one more time, because you can never have enough scripture. This one's from the ESV. Version of the Bible of Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. My dad helped me pick this one out, so this one's, I can't take full credit for it. But I'm going to read the NIV version, which we just read as well. I think it strikes on a little difference, and some words really stuck out at me when I was reading this version of it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12 deals with trying to teach us how to become living sacrifices, as the book of Romans was written as a way to find salvation with God after his death. So my message today is pretty much going to be for young men and women, how we could stick to discipleship and pretty much stand strong in a country that is more and more going against what we try to believe in. It's a challenging subject, and I know a lot of people try to tackle it, but I'm going to try to give my perspective as someone that's a youth and lives in this specific, I guess you could say, world, as it is different. Some of the challenges I faced in school and just everyday life with friends and neighbors and whatever, would be pretty common. Drugs, alcohol, social media, sexual immorality, anger, self-image, trying to keep our grades up, trying to fit in, which is a big one. And more since the election of 2016, political indifferences has become more hostile towards everybody. As I said, those are definitely issues that a lot of people know about, but I think as a youth, it's hard to really explain how it is until you physically put yourselves in the shoes of someone that's really dealing with it. Luckily, I've been blessed with not having to worry about those things as much as a lot of my friends have. A lot of my friends struggle with a lot of it and continue to, and hopefully I'll be able to reach out to them in the future if they're ready to listen. For this, I think there's somewhat of an easy answer for us to give to people that are struggling with this, not just youth, but everyone that is willing to listen. The answer to this can be found in numerous places in both the Old and the New Testament, where God basically is telling us to find, as the Greek word is, koinonia, which is community. We need to use our individual gifts that he has given us to better the kingdom of earth together. It's not a one-man thing. We have to work as a team. As I said, God has given us plenty of gifts, individual gifts, that are always compatible if he finds the right people to use them with. Some of these gifts include worship, preaching his word, and his promise of the good news, which is an extremely important one, obviously. As Pastor Hector also said, I've been here for about four and a half years, and through my time here, it's been definitely a blessing to be here, and although I might not have made as many church services, definitely the youth group and the outings like the winter retreats and stuff like that has really been a very blessed time in my life and has helped me on my journey as a Christian. The good teachings and the reaching out that we've done, as well as the simple sincerity that everyone has given me and everybody else, is definitely something very helpful in trying to grow this. Another community that I've been part of is called Malaga Camp. Pastor Allen, as a director a few years back, he directed there for the summer camp. Malaga is an intentional community down in southern Jersey. It's down by Vineland, I believe, if you know where that is, so pretty far down there. There's just something about this place, being an intentional Christian community, that feels different than any other place I've been to. I've been to the other side of the planet to pick up my adopted sister in China, as well as Korea. And it's a little different, obviously, but there, no community has ever felt like Malaga has to me. And the people that are there are normally, it's an older people place. And they are, I could say, 100% they are Christians. They are people that are devoted their lives completely and solely to following the Word of God and spreading the Word of God. And it's definitely touched me and touched everybody that's been there. The atmosphere that takes place because of this seems supernatural. It's hard to really explain. There's just a sense of safety that I feel there. Sense of safety is, I guess, the biggest word. Sense of friendship, even if I don't know people. Sense of brotherhood or sisterhood. Sense of fatherhood, grandfatherhood, grandmotherhood, and motherhood there that all the people have given us that live there, and the counselors as well. These two communities, both the Brick United Methodist Church and the Malaga Camp, have been very helpful to my journey and probably the two biggest standing out points I've been part of. I'd like to say that they are both role models and what some communities could try to go for, not other churches, but just community as a whole, what we should try to strive to be like. A few more of these just to make it seem like there's a lot more, because there are. I can't go through them all, obviously. Is the Midwinter Advance, the Winter Retreat, as I said here, mission trips, and Keswick, which is another great place to be, a place to visit. These places, I feel, have found this community that we all kind of subconsciously are looking for and striving to be part of, like it or not. Even atheists, I think, feel like they subconsciously need to be part of something and somehow feel a sense of loss because they're not part of these communities or people that truly love God and know the true meaning of love. To these communities, and communities that are trying to rise up, I have like a, I guess you could say, a few challenges to everybody, not just the ones that seem to really be strong with it. One of them would be revitalize the beautiful. Reteaching the good news is something that we, you always, as a Christian, we're always going to be teaching the good news, but I feel as though it's sometimes undermined that this is, the good news is the ultimate end of everything. And it might not seem like good news, but if God's doing it, then it has to be good news. Another one is reteaching the God of the Old Testament. Not just, God is not just another God, as quote unquote, but he is the sovereign ruler of the universe. As the Torah says, Eya Asha Eya, when the burning bush or God is talking to Moses. The translation in most of the, in our Bibles would probably say something, I am who I am, which is, everybody knows it's pretty much a, pretty universally well known, don't have to be a Christian to know that one. But the actual, the more correct Jewish translation would be, I am who I will be. Which to me, I feel like that strikes me as something that speaks in itself and shows the power and the sovereign ability of God. And another one, I feel, as I said, for my youth, and I'm sure my, a lot of the youth can agree with me, is trying to reform public education, as education should ultimately point to God, as he is the true form of truth. And to Methodists in particular, remember Wesley's three images of God. Morals, he's a virtuous God. Will, his ability to do. And his dominion, his authority that exists over everything that is created and everything that is not created. And another one is God is graceful, which I feel everyone kind of gets. But there's a lot more to it than just a term. Forgive me, I'm a little sick. Sorry about the noises. As kind of a point too, as this one's dealing with Corinth, the city in ancient Greece. Which was suffering from immorality, division of the people, and a loss of maturity, which sounds like my generation completely. This one is Corinthians 1, verses 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same work of God. And for this one, this point, tried to cover this side, but didn't work. For this one, I'd like to say, ties into the other one as well. Our gifts are different, and I know a lot of people that I've talked to, a lot of people I know other Christians have talked to, people get turned off by the church. I'm not going to just say everybody's going to love it. I mean, obviously, if we look around, a lot of people don't love it. And our gifts are extremely various. Everybody thinks preaching, you just got to stand up and preach, make a lesson and teach everybody about everything. Has to be the ultimate Christian gift. But I think, and God says, we're different. He created us different. And our gifts could be large as running the organization of a church, to preaching, to being a musician, to being a layperson, or just listening. Listening is definitely one of the, to me, one of the hardest gifts sometimes, depending who's talking. Teaching VBS is also another one, and just being involved in the church, showing up, is also a gift, making that time to be here. With that, another thing comes up, which is nobody really knows the future, where we're going to be. Now, this one's definitely not just towards the youth. It's to everybody. Nobody knows. You could make a prediction that something's going to happen. A lot of people made the prediction that the Patriots are going to win the last Super Bowl. I said the Eagles were going to win because my dad's from Philadelphia. So I'll just, maybe I know the future, but nobody else does. So, as I said, nobody knows what's going to happen to us tomorrow, what's going to happen to us in 10 minutes. So for this, we got to live a Christian life in the now, and we have to live a Christian life as our life. Not live your life as a Christian, but life equals Christian, as like a math problem. Because of this, we must also be ready to face the rising persecution. Now, I'm not talking about, obviously, the Middle East, where people are literally being killed or becoming second-class citizens because of their beliefs of not giving up what they truly believe in. But just, it's hard to explain, but the rising tensions that are coming from the worldly views versus the true, universal, everything, I guess you could say, view. To summarize these, both our teachings are different, living a Christian life, and nobody knows our future. I'm going to talk about the 12 disciples because I don't know how many people actually really know who they are. I know I didn't. I learned about this in Malaga, more about them over the summer. And when we got into someone like Peter, I really realized how much I know nothing about the guy and how much I thought I did, but how much I didn't. So I'm just going to read where they were before they met Jesus, before Jesus called them. Peter was a normal fisherman. Andrew was a fisherman. Philip was a fisherman. Simon was a zealot, which is a nationalist. Bartholomew was the son of a nobleman, we believe. James the older was a fisherman. James the younger, we're not really sure, but he was a normal man. John was a part-time fisherman. Matthew was a tax collector. Jude was a more violent nationalist or zealot. And Judas was a violent Jewish nationalist. So they're different people. They are not carbon copies of one another. They're very unique in their own ways in how they lived their daily lives. But Jesus saw something in them, and he called them. And these pretty much average guys, with the exception of a nobleman's son, ended up making the biggest movement that has ever come on planet Earth. And I think that's something to be heard. Not just by one church or the whole church, but for the whole world to know that 12 men really created, with God's help obviously, this church that is now over, I think like, what, 2 billion members? Universally, which is a big number. So I'd say, and as God says, do not lean on our own understandings, because each of these guys would have been doing their daily lives and continued their lives until they died of old age. They'd been fishermen or tax collectors or zealots or whatever they were. But God called them, and they would have never been able to predict that where we are today, but maybe more importantly, what they'd be doing after a few years of following this random, seemingly random teacher around, who they didn't really even believe in until the end, close to the end. Now, I'm going to read one more thing, and this might be a little graphic for some people, but I think it's important to read this, not just because, I'm not saying this is going to happen to us, I hope, but I'm just going to read this because this part's even possibly more less known than what they did with their livelihoods. As I said, this is a little graphic. this is how the disciples died. And a lot of these are Catholic tradition, so if you don't like Catholics, then sorry, but I'm going to read this. John, he died of natural causes after being exiled to Ephesus. Simon was executed in Iran. Matthew was executed in Ethiopia. Philip was hung in Turkey. Thomas was speared to death in India. Jude was executed by arrows in Beirut. James the Older was beheaded as the first martyr in Jerusalem by Herod. Judas was committed suicide by hanging right outside of Golgotha, where Jesus died. James the Younger was sawn into pieces in Egypt. Bartholomew was flayed alive with knives in Armenia. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece. And Peter was crucified upside down because he felt he didn't deserve the same death that Jesus had to go through. It's graphic, it's realistic, and it shows what these 12 guys had to go through who, as I said a few years prior, would have just been living their normal everyday lives as fishermen, as a nobleman's son, as a tax collector, as a zealot. And they all paid, most of them paid the ultimate price in a very horrific and unthinkable way. But they took that risk, and because of that risk that they took, the 12 gave birth to the Christian church. I'm going to close so I don't keep everybody here, because I know everyone likes short sermons. So my leaving scripture would be Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah is actually one of my personal favorite books of the Bible because there's just so much in it that is so prevalent we can use today in the climate that is not just today but in the past and probably in the future. We can use his teachings and the examples that have been recorded even about 550 years before Jesus, before BC. This is Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to leave with this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And even though this is before God, by about 550 years before Jesus comes down to earth as a child, as a seemingly normal baby, the end says, I'll repeat the end, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And fast forward 500 years from when this was written, the right hand is born. Jesus is born. So that's my message. It's kind of a little all over the place because there's a lot I wanted to try to get into. But the overall challenge, I think, is we got to stay true to what we believe no matter what. We got to try to strengthen those who are around us even stronger. Because we don't know what's going to be in the future, but we know it's not necessarily going to be good. It's not going to be probably for us. It's probably going to be more and more against us. And even though we won't be suffering, hopefully, the same end that many of the disciples did, it's not going to be easy, but it will be worth it. So, thank you.
Thanks, Shane, so much for that reminder, that encouragement that we all need to be lifting each other up, not just our youth. We as a leadership team have always said how much we get from being around our students and what they share, and it encourages us. And really, that's what we need to be doing, right? We need to encourage each other, especially as we see the day approaching.